Hey, thanks for listening to the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe podcast with LeVar Arrington, Jonas Knox, and myself, Brady Quinn. Make sure you catch us live weekdays, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern or 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. You can find your local station for the Two Pros and a Cup of Joe show over at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is Two Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. It is LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. Holiday or not, we are sweating through a three-hour extravaganza, really working hard here on FSR on a holiday, doing nothing but talking sports and only sports, box score readers, X's and O's, through and through. We will continue
stats,
on.
First names. I thought we were staying away from that.
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, just when it comes to them complaining, you know, to others. Oh, okay.
I thought what was worse is the fact that you couldn't decide what you wanted out of four options on the prop bet monster. What? I mean, I don't understand.
What was the last prop bet and question, by the way?
Okay.
What was it?
Do you want the last one? It was which team playing today loses by the widest margin of all six? Who loses by the widest margin? Bears, Lions, Raiders, Cowboys, Bills, Saints. Who do you think?
I think the Raiders. I think the Raiders, man. I
mean,
someone feels like Dallas is going to turn up.
Yes.
And I feel like with everything the Raiders have been through this year, I could see that team just starting to kind of fall apart.
Well, they fell apart the past couple of – or last year, yeah, specifically later in the season. Like, this is not abnormal. Like, this feels like the time when they start to get exposed a little bit and you know, they sort of fall back. I just – they've been through so much, man. I don't know.
It's been a lot.
You know, I'm going to go with the Bears-Detroit. And just based off of the reports coming out of Patch, I think that all that pressure on the Bears is really adding up
show.
And mounting.
I hate the show.
And,
the
and based upon and based upon Jared, I mean,
Jared,
Justin, yeah,
Justin Fields.
Yeah. Okay. Based on Justin Fields being out and Goff being back. I think Detroit is going to win by the largest margin.
Wow. All right. So listen,
How about that?
We've got our picks for today. And that'll be the game that kicks things off. The Bears and
sure
Lions.
Sure do get like juggled in my mouth.
They do.
Hey, just don't say names then. Just don't say them.
Thank you. Okay. All right.
Jesus.
Don't venture down that road.
Jesus.
I mean, they're just getting tangled up all the time. I just don't know, man. I'm sorry, guys. I got to apologize for my slips. I'm sorry.
It happens. Look, it's okay. I'm just going to be quiet over here.
Yeah,
there's nothing. It's fine.
Right.
You know, stuff happens.
Just going to take a moment of meditation.
Yeah. All right. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio.
Well, what I'm going to do.
So the Cowboys and the Raiders, and Brady mentioned it. We saw what Dallas did to Atlanta. Poor Falcons. You know, the Cowboys coming off that loss to the Denver Broncos, and it was like, all right, they got something to prove. They're going to get it done here. And now I feel like this is a similar spot to where the Cowboys, off a disappointing performance at Kansas City last week, is going to come out with a red ass and want to make a statement in this game.
The offense had a disappointing performance because the defense did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, that was bad. But at least it's bad.
That's bad for Oakland.
Your guy Micah Parsons going to get to center stage on Turkey Day's first Thanksgiving to show off a little bit.
He's good, man.
He is. I've been telling people from day one the kid is different, and everybody laughed at me. People brushed me off. Well, it's because he's a Penn Stater. The kid is different, man. He's the only way to describe certain guys like that. Is he's just different. I told somebody at one point, if Von Miller and Ray Lewis could have a kid, it would be Michael Parsons.
Jeez.
And the point is, The point is that Micah can tackle as well as a Ray Lewis, and he can pass rush as well as a Von Miller. It's like generally you get one, You get one thing. God gave you one gift, and that gift is you can pass rush. You can get to the ball carrier. You can tackle. This kid can do both. He can do it all. I mean, it's just – it's been amazing watching something that you already knew take place. I mean, again, I'm doing it twofold, you know, with Dave and in Baltimore. I mean, I'm watching two guys that are dominating the pro game as rookies. You know, the interesting thing to look at right now is you're getting to that point in the season where rookies either start to figure it out and excel more, or they hit that rookie wall and they struggle through because of the length. You're playing, in essence, almost two seasons, a season extra, you know, as a college player. So, you know, I spoke to him the other day, and you know, I was like, you know, just be aware that I know you're pumped up and you're feeling good, but just be aware that you got to take care of your body, and you got to mentally and emotionally take care of yourself at a very high level, because everything that you have going on, all the success that you're having, you know, you got to make sure that you're paying attention to the fact that you're now getting into waters that you've never been in before. And so you got to make sure you're prepared for, you know, how you're going to practice moving forward, how you're going to prepare moving forward, because it gets intense. At times it gets difficult to be able to maintain that level of focus, that level of approach as you get further into the season.
I mean, especially 17 games. Now you wait and see how that's going to impact him. Because what was the biggest? So when you guys left college and all of a sudden you're playing the additional games, did you notice a difference later in the year? Like, wow, this is dragging on a lot longer than what I expected. Like this season is a lot longer than what I anticipated coming off into your rookie season.
I didn't play much early on. Like,
yeah, I didn't play until the end. But I guess my feeling was more no, because you didn't have school. Like, you weren't dealing with school as well as football and everything that comes along with that. So it felt like it was just more centered and focused on football, which actually kind of made it a little nicer, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't feel like there was that wall. But physically, I think that's more what LeVar is talking about. That's not something that a quarterback's going to face. It'd be more mental than anything else. But even then, it was like, it's kind of nice, man. I mean, like, I don't have to worry about, you know, exams or finals and all that kind of stuff going on, you know, aside from everything else that we had going on in practice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I say that the amount of time once it became your job is it's a much heavier workload, because you're getting up earlier. Like in school, you get up, you go get your workout in, you get breakfast, and then you do classes until it's time for you to practice. And then after that, it's kind of, if you have study hall as a freshman, or if you're doing your study groups as an upperclassman, whatever it may be, you're still able to manage your time in a way where, to me, like, college was a little bit more or less work, you know, extensive, in the sense that for football, you're up at 7 a.m. to be over there. And you're getting going, and you're not done until 4 or 5 o'clock, you know, and so you're going all the way through. Whereas it's broken up, at least for me, how it hit me when I came into the league, it was broken up for me in college. Like, I had moments to take naps and, you know, like maybe go hang out at the hub and talk to friends. Whereas once you became a pro, that became your job. And you're in meetings constantly, and you're doing walkthroughs and you're doing treatments, and you're getting back out on the field. Like, we had a walkthrough practice earlier in the day. Then you would have your lunch. Then you get yourself, you know, back upstairs for another meeting. And then you come back downstairs, and then you get yourself ready for practice. You come off of practice. Then you got a post-practice meeting, or you got a post-practice lift. And then you have a meeting after that. It's just, I thought it was a lot. My rookie year, I was overwhelmed. And I was overwhelmed with the amount of work within 8 to 9 hours of a day. And once you get to week 9, 10, 11 and beyond, and the weather changes, and maybe it's because we weren't winning, you know, the weather changes, you're practicing in inclement climates and conditions, you're having all of these meetings still. It was just it was a lot of mental, emotional fatigue.
And, you know,
I loved it, dude. I loved it. I mean, in college, I was up at 5, working out at 6. I mean, and we were, you know, whether it was after pro, I mean, we ran a pro schedule pretty much. So it wasn't any different for me, man. I loved everything about the transition to it and having the chance to do it professionally. I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. There was nothing better, and everyone who knows this who lives up north, there's nothing better than when you woke up, you drove in, it was still dark out.
Yes.
Obviously, it's 5 a.m., it's still dark out. You go in and get your workout ready, get your body all warmed up. You go in there, do whatever you got to do for that. Get your film all set up for whatever the install was that day. You're prepared. You got all your notes that you're sharing with the coaches or sharing with the players. Then you go through all your meetings and all that stuff. Sometimes, man, like when you practice indoors, when he talks about late in the season like that, you know, you wouldn't even see the light of day because I'd be in there so late. Like, I'd end up leaving around 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30, depending on when. It was all dependent on the coaching staff. Because if you had, like, a third down red zone install for the next day, you were basically waiting to get those sheets, get those handouts. Like, now they got iPads, but I always had to take notes. I hated having an iPad as a playbook. So I always had to wait until they would try to print those things out so I could take my notes on them and then kind of finalize what the third down installs were going to be. So sometimes you're in there till late before they try to, you know, finally finalize the personnel, formation, all that kind of stuff, what they wanted to do. And so you'd be rolling home at like, you know, 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock before you're able to go, you know, finally get to bed. So it was long days, man, but it is the fun, most fun, coolest, you know, ride journey that you could ever imagine being on.
Well, the Raiders, who are losers of 3 straight, who will be at Dallas again coming up 4:30 Eastern time. That's the middle game. Of the 3 coming up later on today. So they've lost 3 straight. They're going to go back home. It feels like the wheels are coming off there, and you just wonder what happens to this team afterwards, and whether or not, you know, if Mike Mayock's going to be around to make wholesale changes, if Derek Carr is going to be.
Cowboys are going to run the crap out of the football.
I do too. Yeah.
They got a little bit exposed versus KC. Like, they kind of showcased they could a little bit, but Dak was off. The receivers were dropping passes. The O-line, and they get Tyron Smith back, who basically was God's gift to football. Yeah. If you ever want to look like what a tackle should look like, look at Tyron Smith without a shirt on.
Yeah.
But that's who they get back. They are going to pound away at the Las Vegas Raiders with Zeke, who I think was a little bit banged up, but him and Tony Pollard.
Yeah, his that ankle injury Zeke suffered, that looked nasty, man. The way it landed on him when he went out of bounds last week.
When did they ever look good? I mean, what have you seen an ankle injury? You're like, it's not so bad.
Well, I mean, listen, normally, like, if I injure my ankles, I just pop right back up. I mean, I injured my ankle yesterday. I'm doing the show today. So, I mean, but again, some guys are just built different. And again, I'm not trying to compare myself to Zeke, but, you know, some guys are just built a little different.
Of course,
you know, I'm just built for this. All right. It is 2 Pros and a Cup of Joe here, Fox Sports Radio. LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox. Coming up next, we are going to get into several stories around the NFL. Coaches on the hot seat. Who could be the first to go, and what the hell is going on at quarterback for one franchise with our NFL insider Albert Breer stops by next here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of 2 Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Coming up later on this hour, we are going to have a story about 20 minutes from now of an accidental kidnapping in the world of football. So just a shocking story 20 minutes from now here on FSR. Right now, though, he is the great Albert Breer, always kind enough to join us, even on a holiday. He is from the MMQB.com. He is senior NFL reporter. Get him on Twitter, at Albert Breer. Albert, sorry about all the grab ass. We were just, you know, trying to get to you on time, but these guys are steering us into a ditch this morning. Happy holidays.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, to you guys too. If you guys are running the triple option, is LeVar the dive back and then Jonas, you would be the you'd be the pitch back. Brady, I know you're the quarterback, right? Is that right?
Probably not. I don't know. Who really cares, Albert? Yeah. Let's be honest. Because happy Thanksgiving. Here's what got swept under the rug amongst 3 games on a national holiday. The Rams had to pay $790 million in their settlement with St. Louis. I got to be honest. I feel like they got off on the cheap end. They're probably happy to settle up for this amount. Tell me, am I wrong?
No, I think you're right, Brady. They just wanted it to go away. And, now the question is going to become who's footing the bill and whether or not Stan Kroenke is going to be responsible for the whole thing. And for people who haven't followed this, I mean, basically, there's been some infighting among owners as far as who's going to be, stuck with the tab here. And one of the reasons why is because when they moved the Rams from St. Louis to L.A., Stan Kroenke basically agreed to pay any associated costs. Well, now he's arguing that in the Chargers and Raiders application to build a stadium in L.A., they basically drew up a roadmap for the city of St. Louis to sue the Rams and sue the NFL over the move. And so it's gotten complicated. It's gotten messy. The interesting part, I think a lot of people would argue, Brady, is going to happen right now, with that infighting between the owners. But I think overall, like the league is happy to get rid of this, especially because, they got the Super Bowl in Los Angeles in a little over 2 months. And so I don't think they wanted the cloud of a lawsuit involving the stadium that they're playing the game in to be hanging over them during Super Bowl week.
All right. So and if that's the case, is there a fallout in terms of if there would ever be the opportunity for a team to now go back to Missouri?
Yeah, and LeVar, I think all the reporting that's been out there has indicated that there was no sort of deal like there was, say, with the city of Cleveland when the Browns went to Baltimore, where part of them settling that case was that the NFL promised Cleveland an expansion team. That hasn't happened here, and I'd be surprised if there is any sort of expansion on the horizon that doesn't involve international. I know a lot of people have said, well, would they go back to St. Louis? Would they go back to San Diego? Would they go to San Antonio, Austin? I think the only way they're going to expand is, if it's really worth their while financially. And I'm not sure there are any cities domestically that they would look at and say, it makes sense for us to split up our war chest two different ways or four different ways to accommodate these cities having teams, unless those cities are places like London, Munich, Dusseldorf. I just think the only way there's going to be any sort of expansion of the NFL in the anywhere near future would be if, it's overseas.
It's Albert Breer joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, senior NFL reporter at the MMQB. Jonas Knox, Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington here, two pros and a cup of Joe with you here on FSR. Albert, Brady was all about this Patch.com story involving Matt Nagy, and we were trying to talk
all
him
about
off the
it.
Ledge.
No idea what Patch.com is there, Albert.
Was there any validity to this? Obviously, the Bears have come out and said no, and Matt Nagy's going to be coaching in a couple hours, How close to losing his job in season is Matt Nagy right now?
Yeah, good question.
Well, the Bears have never done it, and it's 101 years of history. So, I know that they're one of those organizations like the Giants, like the Steelers, that sort of prides themselves on not being reactionary, and being sort of a family business. That said, if there was a time to do it, this is generally the sort of spot where you would do it. Either coming out of a bye week or going into a bye week or, when you've got a game on a Thursday where you've got a chance in the back end to reset yourself a little bit and give the interim coach a chance to kind of get his bearings in his new role. I think there's going to be, obviously a lot of eyeballs on the game today. This is the spot where Matt Patricia got fired last year in Detroit for a lot of those same reasons. And, I think the reason why a lot of people are going to be paying attention to, what happens today is because of who they're up against. And, if you're talking about a Bears team that had playoff aspirations, that traded up in the draft for a quarterback, and I know he's not going to play today, but still traded up in the draft for a quarterback, and, they show up in Detroit in their DOA against a Lions team that hasn't won a game all year. Now I think you have to start to ask the question of whether or not your team's responding to Matt Nagy anymore. But my understanding has been that they haven't made any sort of decision on that yet. Again, ownership there is sort of always kind of been more patient than to fire a coach in midseason. And I think the only reason you do it again in this sort of spot would be if the team's not responding anymore, in which case you probably have a pretty bad environment for young players to come along.
I'm conflicted between I was going to say I'm conflicted between two questions here, Al. One being the surging Indianapolis Colts. I said they're dangerous because they have this amazing running back in Jonathan Taylor. That
my guy.
It's leading the way, and I think that every team should want to draft a Jonathan Taylor. Or are we heading towards what? Where are we at with the Rams with OBJ? And is it going to work out? They're working on the packages. It's going to take a little longer, whatever. But there's no buyer's remorse seemingly coming from the Rams. You choose whichever one you want to answer.
I'll answer both. I think the Colts are for real. I think we're seeing a different type of Colts team this year because of the way they're built. You know, they're really sturdy on the lines of scrimmage, and that's the way Chris Ballard's built that team over the last 5 years. I honestly think, guys, like if Andrew Luck were still there, we'd be talking about this being a Super Bowl team. And I think how far they go when we get to January, you know, may boil down to, you know, where Carson Wentz is and how far Carson Wentz can take them, because I think they've got a lot of the other pieces in place. You know, and I think it's one of those rosters when you look and you see balance across it. And, you know, like there just isn't a hole, and they can beat you different ways. And those are the sorts of teams that usually are dangerous in January. As for the Rams, I think this is sort of a gut check for a lot of people in that building. You know, it goes for Sean McVay, it goes for Matthew Stafford, in that, you know, like they were really rolling. They've lost a couple in a row now. And not only have they lost a couple in a row, there's sort of a blueprint emerging for how you beat them. The way the Titans beat them, the way the Niners beat them, really just lined up and punched them in the mouth, you know. And so I'll be interested to see how they look coming out of their bye. And OBJ is interesting because, you know, I think he went from being a luxury item when they got him because they had so many people around Matthew Stafford to then a couple of days later you lose Robert Woods. And now all of a sudden I think you need another playmaker to complement Cooper Kupp in that offense. And so, I think, you know, Beckham, you know, went from being kind of like, okay, like how is he going to fit in here, to now you really need to get him ready to go.
Albert, I want to ask you just about the Giants situation. They fire former head coach, obviously their offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett. What good does this really do? Is this more of a sign that maybe Joe Judge is on the hot seat? I think we've all known that David Gettleman, their general manager, is on the hot seat as well.
Yeah. And I think like the question with Gettleman is going to be kind of how the separation happens, because you know, he's got, I mean, history going back to the early 90s in that organization. And so, you know, do you fire him? Does he move into a consulting role? Does he retire on his own? I think that's a big question. Then, you know, you go to what happened with Jason. And I just say this, I understand the reason why it happened. And I think it was an awkward fit from the start. And you saw that with the firing of Mark Colombo as the offensive line coach last year, that there was sort of, I think in that building, like the last 2 years, there's been New England factions, which is like the Joe Judge group, and then Dallas factions, which is Jason Garrett and some of the offensive staff. And so, you know, I think that this was sort of the writing was on the wall with this, you know, for a little while. That said, the Mara family loves Jason Garrett. They've got a ton of history with him. You know, he played for them. And so the fact that the Mara family would sign off on Jason Garrett being fired in this way tells you everybody in that building is going to be on notice. And so that's where you can swing it back around, Brady, to the general manager spot, where do they fire Joe and just start all over? Do they hire a general manager who matches up with Joe, where those guys are sort of tethered together, maybe a guy like Monty Austinfort in Tennessee that has New England background? Or do they go out and hire a general manager who now is going to evaluate Joe Judge in 2022? It's a really interesting situation because, you know, I can tell you ownership there is pretty embarrassed by the way the last 10 years have gone since they won that Super Bowl in 2011. And, you know, I would expect that at least some heads are going to roll at the end of the year.
All right, Albert, we got less than a minute here. So I'm just going to ask you the question. Ohio State -8.5?
Oh, lay the points.
I don't think they can cover our receivers, guys. I don't know. I mean, Brady's a college football analyst. So, Brady, you going to take us? You lay those points?
Yes. If I was handicapping this game, I would have it at 10.5. I really would. Like, I think it's Because I don't think Michigan's going to be able to get pressure on Stroud, which is the whole key to them not getting the football to the wide receivers. And, like, Ohio State can run the football a little bit, too, with Henderson. So the reality is it's kind of like going back to the Michigan State game. It's not quite as bad because Michigan's a better team, and they don't have as many flaws. But they have to play a very specific style of game in order to have a shot to keep it close and win. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, and I think Ryan Day has been really good in this game, going back to when he was the offensive coordinator.
Ryan Day's been really good.
Hey, Lamar, who you got Penn State, Michigan State?
Who do you got Penn State, Michigan State?
Hey, we are.
That's right, Penn State, baby.
Hey, LaVar, I just want to say we had our argument last week. You know, my guy Jonathan Taylor came through for me and showing – showing just how right I was.
Well, listen, I won't
buy into that.
Get him on
Twitter. Still not sold?
No. I've always been sold on Jonathan Taylor, but you're not going to do an either or with me. You're not going to get me to say something disparaging about my guy.
Get him on Twitter at Albert Breer. Albert, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. We appreciate you spending a few minutes with us here, and we'll do it again next week.
Thanks, yeah, Albert.
Jonas,
thanks,
Brady,
everybody.
LaVar, happy
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving, bro.
Yeah,
you too.
He's the best. Good stuff from Albert Breer. So there it is, -8.5. The joint bookie team of Albert Breer and Brady Quinn, a little 8.5.
And by the way, I hate Michigan way more than I hate Ohio State. So me and Mr. Breer are on the same page this week.
That game already got bet up by, I want to say, a point or a point and a half.
Yeah.
It opened at like 7.5.
Yeah.
So.
It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next here, we have ourselves an accidental kidnapping in the world of football. Wait till you hear this story right here on FSR.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LaVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, Fox Sports Radio. LaVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox with you here on FSR. We are going to be back on the air tomorrow, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. So listen, Black Friday or not, we're going to be here. So while everybody else is stuck in line, stuck in traffic, we're going to be dropping hits here. Another five-star radio program for you here on a holiday weekend. How about that?
That's right. Yeah. Holiday weekend now. So
yeah.
You went from holiday week to holiday weekend.
You know, I'll call whatever I want to call it. How about that?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
You know, listen, if I want to call it a weekend, it'll be a weekend. But
see, he was waiting for the end of the show to do this.
See,
to you, Brady.
I do think it is worth pointing out that once this day is over, you are allowed to put up Christmas lights and decorations. So I'm going to give you the approval.
You're not the boss of me, Jonas.
Sorry.
You're not. I'm sorry.
Give you the
she
approval.
Just walked in and walked out maybe 2 minutes ago. You are not the boss of me. I will not allow there to be not one more boss of me walking the face of this planet.
Oh, man.
Just letting you know.
And Brady will be in Michigan getting ready for Ohio State and Michigan.
That's awesome. Right.
Can we just get a good game? That's all I want. I just want a good game between those two.
Look, here's how it's a good game.
That's it, man.
Here's how it's a good game. If Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo, they're two edge rushers, those guys may both be first-round picks after this year. If they get some hits on Stroud, and if Michigan can control the game running the football, even though the Ohio State defense has been vastly improved from that game versus Oregon where they couldn't stop the run at all, if Michigan can do those two things, they will have a shot. I find it hard to believe that's going to be the case because even though Hutchinson and Ojabo have been great, look, Michigan State actually has been better at getting pressure on quarterbacks and sacks. And you saw how that worked out last week. So I think it all comes down to that battle in the trenches, Ohio State's O-line versus that D-line. And I don't know, man. Well, it's hard to think that it's going to work out well for them.
It's going to be a damn good time, just like this is when we do it every single day.
Yeah.
You moron.
How could you not get to these stories?
You moron.
These are the scraps.
And for that, we turn it over to the great Lee DeLapp, our executive producer, to find out what the hell we've missed so far. Lee?
You guys, we talk a lot about tradition on this show. Well, we got Army-Navy facing off on December 11th, and a little tradition has been brought back to the forefront. That is stealing the mascot of Navy, the goat Bill. Mascot Bill. Well, West Coast Cadets, West Point Cadets, they blew their mission. They went to go hijack or kidnap Navy mascot Bill, but they got the wrong goat, you guys. Turns out there's a bunch of these mascots, but they got the retired one. They got Bill number 34 instead of Bill number 37. They had to later return him safely and apologize.
I mean, so would they have not returned him safely? Had they got the right one?
Yeah,
they actually
kidding.
Had to apologize for hurting another mascot earlier, a Falcon for another team. For the Air Force Academy.
Well, it's a little bit more dicey. You're trying to
capture
a Falcon.
These are the people that are preparing to protect us, you know?
I mean, what are you going to do with the goat, all right?
I know.
Like, what are you going to do with it? Yeah. You're trying to take... Okay, cool.
I already got my dump for the show. I ain't going to touch that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see where you're going.
Wow.
It's going to turn into the loving lamb. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, silence of the lamb.
You can find those. Okay. You can shop for those at patch.com.
Yeah.
That's
oh, my gosh. This was amazing just now. That exchange was amazing.
Okay. Right. What else we got, Lee?
You guys, Mel Tucker got a big payday. He's got a 10-year, $95 million extension, even though he lost to Ohio State earlier this week.
Lost? How about mutilated? Speaking of Silence of the Lambs, how about that? Absolutely mutilated.
I was about to say, why did you go so dark on us with your imagery of what happened? I
mean, I'm just, you know, look.
Mutilated is really, really, like, that's real sinister, bro.
Okay, what would you call what happened at Michigan State last week?
I mean,
why are we talking about this now?
Well,
this happened like a week ago.
No, but he said he officially signed the contract. That was a report
was
that came out.
Too.
I mean, the ink wasn't dry, apparently.
Well,
now
once it's
dry.
In principle, it's done. It's done.
You got to wait for the ink to dry.
I'm just saying. Jeez, mutilated, though. Jeez, come on.
What do you
want? Better, Jonas.
Okay.
Let's move on.
Meanwhile, people across the country are going to eat a turkey that had his head ripped off. Okay, but all right. I'm the a-hole on Thanksgiving. That's fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
What else you got, Lee?
Oh, some good old Thanksgiving story here for you. We got Saints Alvin Kamara and Cameron Jones. Cameron Jordan helping out shoppers, picking up a tab of $21,000 at the local supermarket.
Nice.
What
were in the groceries there? Which, by the way, Lee didn't want to do this story. He wanted to do the other story. Go ahead. Lee, why don't you go ahead and do the other story? If I'm sinister, go ahead, Lee. Please do the other story.
Do the other story, Lee.
Knoxville, man. Have you guys gotten hangry over the holidays? Ever get hangry waiting
Brady
for your
does.
Food?
No.
Come on, just go. Yeah. We don't have a lot of time. Yeah. Come on.
All right. Knoxville man Charles Doty Jr. got a little hangry waiting for his Little Caesars pizza. They told him
Charles
it was going to be a 10-minute wait.
Charles
Doty Jr.
Okay, Doty. Okay, come on.
And so he's waiting for 10 minutes for his pizza. He said, that's too long. I need free breadsticks. Well, they said no free breadsticks for you, Charles. So what did he do? Goes to his car, gets an AK-47.
Okay, now.
Says, right. I need that pizza.
Now,
luckily, a customer
please
stepped in to
no
save the day
hurt.
And gave him her pizza.
Yeah. So, yeah, nobody was hurt, right, Lee?
Nobody was hurt.
All right. So now we can make jokes. Okay. So, look. At Little Caesars, don't they have those $5 pizzas? I mean,
the fast and ready, whatever.
Yeah, for five bucks, what does he expect? I mean, come on, like you can't expect top notch service. It's a $5 pizza. It doesn't mean you got to pull out a hand cannon because it didn't come out on time.
It's false advertising.
I think an AK is a little more than a hand cannon, by the way.
Okay, well, whatever, whatever you
just
want.
Saying,
that was
a little...
one serious pizza. I'll tell you that.
I don't love anything. I don't love any food that much to threaten someone's life
and,
like that.
And don't bread sticks
chicken
must
parm?
Be, hey, don't,
yeah,
don't
care,
bread sticks
dude.
Must
I'm
be
not,
to die for.
Yeah. Good stuff. Yes.
Thank you. All right, there we go.
I mean, yeah, but listen, you know, people want their food, man, and apparently that 10 minutes is too long.
That 10 minutes mattered.
Yeah.
His expiration date was going off. his light blinker was on.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Hey, back at you guys, man. Enjoy.
Enjoy the food. Brady,
good luck
travel
on the
safe.
Game, Brady. Yeah, safe travel.
We got
travel.
A big show tomorrow.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.